Yes, it's true. That is my job title, Director of People, Culture and Fun. It's always a talking point whenever I go anywhere. I go to these secular kind of, you know, leadership events and have people coming up saying, oh, I need to talk to you about your job title. How do you get to do HR and have fun? It is possible because we do it the way Jesus does it. And that means that you can have fun and deal with people and look after people and have fun as you do it. So that is my job title. I've been very blessed in my time at CAP. I've been working at CAP head office for nearly 12 years, which is a long time in CAP circles. When I started in Bradford, there were about 23 staff. There were about 23 debt centres around the country. And in the time that I've been there, we've grown more than tenfold. We now have over 300 debt centres around the country. We have over 570 of our total centres. And at our CAP head office, we have just short of 300 staff, 300 employees on payroll who work out of our head office in Bradford, the machine that sits behind the wonderful work that our partner churches like yourselves get to do on a day in, day out basis. Fantastic. So it's my joy to be here with you this morning to celebrate CAP Sunday with you, as we call it, CAP Sunday. And there are churches all over the country who've been celebrating CAP Sunday over the last few weeks, just taking a day, one Sunday out of the year to say, actually, yeah, we want to recognise our ministry, our CAP ministry in our church, and be able to celebrate all that it's achieving in the lives of the poor, the marginalised, the lost and the lonely in our community. And I'm just still so excited that I get to do this, that I get to work for CAP, an organisation that in Jesus' name is going and meeting people where they're at and seeing lives transformed. And so it will be my privilege to share with you today a little bit about our vision, a little bit about the national work of CAP, where we're up to, give you a bit of an update on how we're doing, and also just share with you what is on my heart. So a little bit from my CAP Sunday notes, but a little bit about what God's put on my heart to share with you this morning. Does that sound okay? Fab. So I will hopefully have some slides coming up, Alex, at some point. There we go, slide number one, thank you. So on slide number two here, it says the quote that has been CAP's strapline in our 20th year. We're celebrating 20 years from when John Kirkby, our founder, started this amazing ministry out of his own personal circumstances. God challenged him and spoke to him to do what he could do and set up Christians Against Poverty 20 years ago. And this has been our strapline from Hebrews 13, verse 8, that says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the unchanging one. He is constant and he is faithful. And when I was just preparing this, I worked out that I have known Jesus personally for myself for nearly 40 years, which makes me feel really old, but I was a child, newborn Christian. And I still remember very clearly that moment when I was singing songs with my dad, Christian songs at home when I was a kid. And I remember saying, oh, what do I need to do? How can I be a Christian too? And I made that decision to say, do you know what? I want something bigger than me to do life with. And I want that same joy that I saw in my parents to be in my heart too. And my testimony is about God being faithful, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Faithful. He's been my faithful father, friend, guide, my person that I go to, my rock, my foundation. He has been my forever faithful. And you know, we don't need to worry about, does Jesus still love me? Will his mercy still be there for me tomorrow, knowing what I've done today? We don't need to worry about that because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that same forgiveness, that same joy, that same hope, that same rock, that same foundation is the same for me today as it was yesterday, as it was 20 years ago, as it was nearly 40 years ago. And if Christ is the same yesterday, today,
and forever, then what about us as his people? Those of us who are Christ followers, who are Christians, who have Jesus, who have the Spirit of God in us, what about us? Do we display that radical love and compassion of Jesus himself? Do we declare that the Spirit of the Lord is upon us to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and to bring freedom to the captives? Because that's what Jesus did. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that Jesus that's in you, the Holy Spirit that is in you, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same words that Jesus spoke when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me to preach good news to the poor, to bring hope, to bind up the brokenhearted." That has not changed. That is the same. And the question for us all today is that the same in us? Are we displaying Jesus? Are we being Jesus? Are we having the Holy Spirit influence in our lives? Excuse me, yesterday, today, and forever. We should be on slide number 4 now, Alex, thank you. That mandate to take good news to the poor, that is what Jesus did when he was here yesterday, when he was on earth yesterday. And we, as Jesus followers, his church, we represent him today. We, his church. We might change our methods, our styles. We have technology. We have modern music. We have different forms of how we express ourselves and what we do and the way we connect with community. The way the community happens changes and has changed. But the beating heart of the church still is and should still be to be radically outreaching, boldly proclaiming salvation, meeting practical needs, and healing the broken. That should remain constant and unchanging. The church's mandate is the same as it was when Jesus was on the earth. It's the same today, and it's going to be the same forever, because God's mandate is that we reach out to the poor, to the marginalized, to those who are broken and hurting people with the love of God and with a hope that says, actually, your tomorrow can be different than your today. Slide number 5, please. The reality is that thousands of people in our community, in your community here in Grimsby, around this area, thousands of people are living in poverty as a result of debt, which is a major issue for us in the Western world. In the UK, it's a massive problem, absolutely humongous. You only have to look at some of the TV shows that are being aired that, you know, producers somewhere are thinking, this is the current issue. It's about debt, it's about spending, it's about benefits, it's about credit, it's about the finance industry. It's a huge, huge problem. Debt, there's also unemployment. In all kinds of different communities, with industry changing, with our kind of our national product changing to a service economy, not an industry economy, lots of change, lots of unemployment, people struggling with illness, with mental health issues that render them unable to work or unable to work in the way that they used to, can end in poverty and in debt or in financial crisis, and also addiction. And that's addiction with a small A and with a capital A. Because people are addicted to all kinds of things that are not helpful. But sometimes we call them life-controlling or life-affecting issues. Could be food. Could be shopping. It could be watching box sets on Netflix, for those of you who are in that zone. Yep. There's all kinds of things that people allow to affect and control their life in a way that's unhelpful, unproductive, and not God's best for them. And so addiction can also lead to poverty. Poverty being, when I ever use the word poverty, yes, it's material poverty. It's financial poverty. It's people, as Ellen said, going into their homes and they do not have the food to feed their family. They do not have enough materially. But there are different kinds of poverty. There's relational poverty, where people have family breakdown, marriages that don't work, that split, that break, children falling out with parents, grandparents falling out with children, grandchildren, brothers, siblings falling out, breakdown, family, relational poverty, emotional poverty, people feeling isolated, on their own, like they can't cope. They can't do life. They do the whole comparison thing. Everybody else seems to be ticking on fine, and I'm not. I'm in emotional poverty. There are different kinds of poverty. Our experience at CAP would tell us that material poverty can often then either be a result of emotional, mental, relational poverty, which can cause financial poverty. It can be a symptom of, or it can be a causing factor of financial poverty. The two kind of work together. You often, and Ellen will know this, when you go into a person's home who's maybe rung for help, what you find, yep, they haven't got enough food, but you'll probably find that there's some family issue, that there's an addiction issue, that there's a health issue. At CAP head office every week, we have prayer requests that come in from our centre network. So centre managers like Ellen will email in and say, oh, please can you pray for, and we just get an initial, so it might be R or T or somebody or such and such a family. And week after week after week, it's poverty, emotional poverty, health poverty, relational poverty, again and again and again. The next slide, please. Today, for them, this should be slide number 6, Alex. Today, for these people that I'm describing to you, looks like considering suicide so that they don't have to face tomorrow. We used to sing that song, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow," because we know who holds our future. And when we know Jesus, we're very blessed because we know who holds our tomorrow. But you know, there are people all over your community who are behind a closed door thinking, I don't want tomorrow to come. Because tomorrow for me is frightening. Makes me feel sick to the stomach. People are sat at home thinking, I wish there wasn't a tomorrow. I don't want a tomorrow if it's anything like today. A shocking 38% of CAP's clients said they thought about suicide as the only way out of debt before CAP stepped in. Today, for them, is not feeding their children. 2/3 of families missed meals before CAP's help. Today, for them, is struggling with an addiction that is threatening to tear their family apart. Today, for them, is feeling hopeless about being out of work, feeling useless and embarrassed. Our CAP job clubs, we began job clubs 4 or 5 years ago now as another aspect of CAP's ministry. And CAP job club members have been out of work for an average of 2.5 years. That's a long time to feel like nobody wants you. That's a long time to be filling out application forms and getting no after no after no, or just hearing nothing. 2.5 years. Soul destroying. What poverty looks like and feels like is that you're invisible. You have no voice. You are disempowered, voiceless, invisible. Jesus wants to step into those todays through you and through me, through his church, and to turn them into a yesterday. A thing of the past, a distant memory, where being stuck in debt becomes yesterday, where being out of work for years becomes a yesterday, where that life-controlling addiction becomes a yesterday, and today becomes a day of hope. And that is what your CAP ministry is all about. And you've heard some of the feedback from clients this morning who that is their actual real-life experience, is that actually, so, you know, some of them are debt-free. And it's like, that's yesterday, because today I'm saving for Christmas and I'm planning a holiday. That's what my today now sounds like, because somebody was bothered enough to come and help. And man, should that not be what the church is doing? And I'm delighted that you have your debt centre and you've run it for so many years. It's absolutely fantastic and heroic. And it's absolutely what God's heart is ticking for all the time, is for the people who have nothing to find something, for the people who are hopeless to find hope. That is what the Father's heart is all about. And you can read your Bible from Genesis to Revelation and you will find that theme through it all. God's heart to reconcile himself with people who currently are hopeless, have nothing, who can have hope and find everything, find eternity through Jesus. So I want to tell you about Stuart. This is the next slide, please, which should have a picture of Stuart. Yesterday for Stuart looked hopeless. With over £25,000 of debt and no job, he just couldn't see a way forward. One year, he counted over 500 job applications. From that, he only had 6 replies. Now, as somebody who works in people, that I'm annoyed about that, because I just think that's plain rude. But I know that it happens all the time, that people, they don't even acknowledge that someone's asked about a job. And I just think that is disgraceful to send in 500 applications to loads of different places and only have heard back from 6 people. That just... it just gets me cross because it's so rude. It's like there. It's that going back to the invisibility thing. It's like we haven't even seen you, so we're not even going to reply. How awful to treat people like that. It's no surprise when Stuart came to CAP, he was crushed and could see no way out. On the next slide, today, thanks to CAP's debt help and job club, Stuart is debt-free and has found work in a Morrison's supermarket. Today, Stuart has a hope for the future. He has a fresh start and the ability to provide for himself. How fantastic. And on the next slide, the best part of Stuart's story is that it doesn't stop there. Through CAP's partnership with the local church, a church just like this one, Stuart met Jesus in a powerful way, and he grasped his faith with both hands, and now he is not only debt-free and working in a job, but he also has his eternity secured. His forever is settled and satisfied in Jesus, and that's what he has found. CAP exists, on the next slide please, CAP exists to enable the church to preach good news to the poor in their communities. Today, CAP has over 500 church-based services. I think it's 579 is our current number. Over 500 church-based services across the UK, with over 300 CAP debt centres helping the most vulnerable people in our nation find a real way out of the debt that causes such heartache. In 2013, God grew CAP's vision to tackle the other causes of poverty, unemployment, addiction, and financial illiteracy by launching our new services. I say new, they're not really new anymore, I still call them new. CAP Job Clubs, CAP Release Groups, which is the Addiction Life Affecting Issues Groups, and also our new service, which is CAP Life Skills, which gives people the skills they need to live on a low income. We decided to launch these new services because of the need that we were met with whenever we went to see debt clients. What sat behind that, as I've said, is often unemployment, leads people into a debt scenario, which could be for all kinds of reasons. Health, circumstance, redundancy, economy, recession, family breakdown, change of circumstances. There are all manner of reasons why people end up unemployed. And so that was one of the key things that we found behind people in debt was unemployment. So we thought, what could we do about that? And so to start job clubs was something that God laid on our hearts. Running in churches, everything we do is in partnership with a church. We don't fly solo anywhere because we want people to become part of a community of believers where they can encounter the love, the kindness and the support of God's people and find Jesus for themselves. So CAP Job Clubs, the release groups I've talked about in terms of the life affecting issues, and Life Skills, which is new, this one, started over the last 12 months. And the purpose of life skills, again, given what we come across when we meet clients, and as Ellen and you guys will have met, is that people, once they get on a budget, okay, that's one thing, but then how do you actually survive on that budget? Because some of our clients, their circumstances are such that those budgets are pretty tight. They have to be. And you know, I'm sure all of us in the room can say, well, yeah, if you have a budget to stick to, and you know, sometimes it can be hard because you have to know that you have to say no to some things. Actually, we can't shop there, or we can't have that particular holiday, or we can't pay for somebody else to do our decorating. We'll have to do it ourselves, etc., etc. And so the idea behind CAP Life Skills is to equip people with the skills necessary to do life on a budget, whatever that budget is. It could be a massive budget, but you still need to know how to manage it. We have clients who have significant incomes, but they've still ended up in a debt scenario because they have spent beyond their means, or their circumstances have meant that they can't pay the bills that they used to be able to pay before they got made redundant. You know, there's all kinds of ways that people end up in those scenarios. So life skills, it covers things like how to cook on a budget, how to shop on a budget, is buy one get one free actually good value, and how to read the funny labels in the supermarket that try to kid you you're getting a bargain and it might not actually be a bargain. So really practical stuff like that, that if you know it, great, but if you don't know it, you don't know it, and it's a bit of a minefield and you could get bamboozled. It covers relationships. It also covers things like forgiveness and anger through our discovery breaks. So discovery breaks are things that we run with just a relatively small number of clients every year. I think we aim to take 1,000 clients away. That's not a small number, is it? Anyway, 1,000 clients a year. We aim to take away these on a short break, just a couple of days. And on the discovery breaks, they're chances for people to encounter Jesus, basically, and we just bless them and love them and pamper them and treat their kids and look after their kids so mum and dad can go and have a rest and etc. And we, on those breaks, we run discussion groups, and we found them to be really, really helpful. And so the ones particularly on forgiveness, there's forgiveness, anger, worry, and self-esteem. Those are the ones that we do on discovery breaks. And so the life skills course has kind of picked up those that already exist and just popped them into the life skills course because it's about life. Forgiveness. We all need to know about forgiveness. It's a key. It's a massive key. We all need to know about forgiveness. You know, for some people, anger is a real issue. And to be able to know actually how Jesus wants you to behave and how you can manage and control, just very practically, how you can control emotion. Worry, the same. And self-esteem. So life skills is all about equipping and skilling people for life. This year, CAP expects to help 18,000 people out of poverty through these services, with 3,000 people going debt-free, with CAP's debt help, and 145 job clubs seeing 25% of members find work. CAP only exists because of the local church. Every family helped out of debt. Every person helped back into employment. Every person set free from addiction. Every person helped to budget and given life skills to live on a low income. All this happens through the local church. And this is how we operate as Christians Against Poverty, only in partnership with the local church. For the reasons I've said, it's people like yourselves who have Jesus living in you who can go and take Jesus to the people who need him. Those of you who have light in you who can take your light into the darkest of situations. You know, there's that concept that a light is great in the light, but it's most useful in the dark. And Ellen, and those of you who are Ellen's befrienders and volunteer team, you go into people's homes taking light into the darkest of situations. So we only work with churches. We exist to equip the church to preach good news to the poor in their communities, to bind up the brokenhearted by meeting people's practical needs alongside the love and family of church. But God's not here to just bring hope on this earth. He so loved the world that whoever believed in him may have eternal life forever in the presence of Christ and God the Father himself. This year, CAP expects the churches that we work with to see over 1,000 people come to faith through CAP ministries. Imagine that. That's maybe on estimate 10 times the number of people in this room that we would expect and we're in faith for to actually come into a living relationship with Jesus, discipled into church as a result of a church using a CAP ministry. So, let's watch the DVD now, if that's okay, and let's just hear a few stories of clients from in their own words and the difference that CAP has made to them. Thank you.
I just lost all hope, to be honest, that it wasn't going to happen for me, no one was going to help me, and I was doomed.
I did attempt suicide in the brinks of despair. I did, I think for a year, I just carried on drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking.
I counted the application, job applications one year, over 500 job applications.
I didn't want to be around my children, I just didn't want to live anymore, I couldn't see a way out.
I wanted to kill myself, so, you know, I took overdoses.
So I had nothing really, and nothing to look forward to.
If I was very lucky, I'd wake up, it would be in my flat. If not, 9 times out of 10, it was in Durrington police station.
It becomes one big blur.
So low for
we had bailiffs
it,
at the door, a lot.
You just don't care about literally anything.
I wanted my life gone.
The debts were so bad.
Say, why don't they go and jump
through this? I remember saying, there is a God, please help.
Came about the release group because I contacted CAP and I said I had issues with addictions, especially around drink. Where the actual group was based was actually in a church, and yeah, I'll be honest, it might have been the fact I knew that I'd probably have something to eat there and a drink that got me through the door. The guy that ran it was brilliant, and through the weeks we looked at all different topics like anger, forgiveness, and it worked, and it did work for me. You know, since I found God, I don't, any situation I go into now, I believe he's there. I mean, he's here right now. Before the release group, I was drinking pretty much every weekend there was. So since the release group, yeah, not touched a drop.
I'd been out of work for a long period of time, and I thought I'd heard everything. So we did this interview session. I had a real interview the following day. Every question that we'd gone over was asked me again that day, and it was so easy. It was such a breeze, I was so relaxed. I believe that's one of the reasons that I got the job. And most of the people that I started with are good friends, and most of them have jobs. Since I've become involved with CAP, I became a Christian. Which I didn't expect. So a fantastic Lord's with us all the time. A wonderful life.
I went along to St John's and I met Emma, and I remember walking through St John's Church, and there was an instant connection. I felt absolutely at peace. I was frightened because I knew I had so much paperwork and debt. I didn't know what to expect or where to begin, to be honest with you. And she sat me down and she was absolutely so, so kind and just made me feel at ease. And we started our journey. I remember actually helping me with food as well that day because I had no food. The bankruptcy was all filed and filled out at head office, which is amazing. It was in two packs. And one was for me and one was for the bankruptcy. And then we went up, Emma and I went up to the court. It was amazing. Just, you know, just the weight lifting. And today I'm full of the Holy Spirit, and I do believe this is God's will. And I feel that I've always had a hole in my soul and my life, but it's been fulfilled now. So I feel I have peace of mind and I feel quite content, you know, and I'm really grateful, really, really grateful for Christians Against Poverty, because without them, I wouldn't be here today.
Clean, sober life. I don't smoke anymore. I have my family back. I have a contact with my mum and dad that I've never had. We get on, we laugh about so much stuff. There's no arguments. And I believe that had I not made the decision of contacting CAP, probably would never have got that. So thank you, CAP.
Yeah, the CAP job's brilliant. There's something for everybody that's out of work. And since I got a job within the first month, absolutely fantastic. New life, new leaf, all systems go. I'm a Christian and I love it. I'm a happy Christian. So thanks a lot out there, all you people at CAP.
Since meeting Christians Against Poverty, I've found a faith which I'm truly grateful for. I'm debt free, I don't drink anymore. I've got my family back, I'm a nan. I worship every Sunday and I'm so happy to go forward for the rest of my life debt free and happy. And for that I'm truly grateful. Would you consider giving £12 a month to Christians Against Poverty to change somebody's life like mine forever? Thank you.
Three people's lives, real people, real lives. You know, Paula did attempt suicide. She was saved by paramedics, a Christian actually, who she later met, oddly, a God incident at a CAP event. That lady might not have been here had the church not intervened and made a way for her to come and find help, non-judgmental help. Helping anybody. And did you hear Paul saying he was in relationship with his mum and dad again? That relational poverty that he was experiencing, that may have either been the symptom of his drinking or the cause of his drinking, but resolved because Jesus intervened through people like you, through a church like yours that decided to say, yes, we want to get into our community and we want to take the love of Jesus. I want to talk about you getting involved in two ways, two main ways. I want to talk about you getting involved locally here, as Ellen's already said, and I just want to say that in bold letters again. To get involved. You know, I've been a Christian a long time, and I'm sure there are many of you in this room who've known Jesus for a lot of years. And you know, the Jesus that is in you is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the mandate that was on Jesus to bring good news to the poor is on you also. To take hope to the hopeless, to bind up the brokenhearted. And when I look back on the walk I have had with Jesus, the many blessings I've had, the fortune and the favor I've had as I've held on to God through all kinds of seasons, as I look back on that, I just think, I want to outwork all that God has sown into me and worked into me. I need that to be outworked under this biblical godly mandate of taking Jesus to go make disciples, to take hope to the hopeless, as I've said. And I want to challenge you this morning because I believe there's a response for everyone in this room this morning to make to Jesus in one or two different ways. And one of them is, I want to challenge you. How are you outworking the mandate that God has put over your life? By his Holy Spirit that is in you, how are you outworking that mandate in your life? To take hope, to take life, to take love, to take the opposite of poverty, the abundance of God, relationally, mentally, emotionally, physically, materially, in every way, the abundance of God. How are you answering that mandate this morning? And there's opportunity for you today as we're talking about your CAP Centre, as we're talking about the work of CAP here in your church. There's opportunity for you today. Today is a good day. Yesterday, today, and forever. Today's a good day to go and speak to Ellen or any of us who will be over by the CAP stand and see how you can get involved. It might be through being a befriender, being someone who actually goes into people's homes, who goes and is someone who's just another person in the room who can, I do some befriending work and I often distract the kids. I play with the kids while the person who does the numbers does the numbers. And that's a vital role, because kids can be really distracting when a parent is already stressed, already wondering, what is this person doing in my living room? Are they going to help? Have I done the right thing? To take the kids and entertain them so parent can think clearly is a really helpful ministry. So it could be doing that. It could just be that you're there to smile. It could be there that you're there to share what God's done in your life. And there's an opportunity to say, and I don't know any of your circumstances in the room, but there might be some of you who are able to sit across from somebody and get a nudge from God to say, actually, I know how that feels, what you've just said, because I've been there. That might be for some of you in the room this morning. You've been there, whether that be emotional poverty, relational poverty, or material poverty, and you're able to speak into that through what Jesus has done in your life. It's the mandate that's over you by the Spirit that's living in you. So that's challenge number one. Challenge number two is getting involved in supporting the wider work of Christians Against Poverty. We have a really clear vision at CAP to free anyone suffering in debt and poverty in the UK. And to achieve this, we need to double our coverage in the next 5 years. We are looking for 1,000 CAP centres to be running all over the UK by the time we reach, or by the end of, 2021. That is our vision. The vision means CAP needs to double the number of people who are prepared to give financially to make that happen, so that we can reach thousands more people like Stuart, Tony, and Paula. The one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever still today calls his disciples to be radically generous and give in a way that prioritizes the poor in their neighborhood and in their nation. CAP, we get no government funding because we refuse to compromise our evangelistic focus. We refuse to say we won't pray. We refuse to change our gospel-oriented social action. There are many organisations who've gone before us in years gone by who have compromised, and sadly, although they may have begun with a Christian ethos, it's been watered down so much that you won't get the gospel necessarily at the end of it, depending who you're dealing with. And at Christians Against Poverty, we've made a very definite decision to not change the fact that we offer to pray with every single person we visit. Into every home, we offer to pray. People can, of course, say no. Our experience tells us that 99 times out of 100, not 10, I don't do debt counselling, don't worry. Our experience tells us that most people say, pray, yes, please. I'll take whatever you've got, because I really need some help. Yes, please pray. And so we don't get government funding, or, you know, there is funding available, but it's only if we change things that we do. And so we are able to keep growing to allow more churches like this to run a CAP centre, to run a debt centre. Running a debt service is quite expensive. You saw on the DVD there just a little shot of some of the people who work at head office. There are around 75 people who solely work on debt counselling. Running the cases for your clients, for clients all over the country. That's expensive for us to be able to do, and we want to be able to open as many of these services as we can, definitely 1,000 by 2021. And so I want to give you the opportunity to change someone's life, to be involved in allowing us to open with more churches like this and run more centres and more services by considering giving in to Christians Against Poverty's national work. So can I ask you today, would you consider, and I know that many of you in the room are probably already giving regularly to CAP under our Life Changer program, but I just want to ask again, if you don't currently support the national work of Christians Against Poverty, can I ask you to consider that today? It's another today moment. We have over 28,000 individuals, Christians, who share our heart for evangelism, who share our heart to actually, we want to do this in Jesus' name, not in the government's name. We want to do this as church, not just as social community. This is a Jesus venture. People who share that heart and that vision give us relatively small amounts, but on a regular basis, and that's what enables us to keep going. And so I want to ask you to consider that today. If you are already a giver, thank you, thank you, thank you, because you are enabling not only this centre to run, but you're enabling the over 300 other debt centres and our other group services to run all over the UK. So churches who maybe don't have a lot of finance themselves, we're able to subsidise and still allow them to run a debt centre because of your giving. So I want to say thank you. And if today you think, I could maybe increase, I want to leave that with you as well. You could increase your giving. And then finally, just as I close, there's just one other opportunity that we've started this year, which is to become a centre sponsor. So as I've just said, there are churches who have limited finances, but who really want to open a debt service in their community. I did a talk a couple of years ago now at a church in Nottingham, just outside Nottingham, and he told me, the pastor said, you know, we're in one of the bottom three postcodes for social deprivation in the UK. And he was running a church, and he said, don't put books out, because everybody will just take them. And a lot of people can't read, but they will take them because they're there and they're free. I still put the books out. I don't mind anybody taking books. He said, be prepared. People will be in and out all the time. It will be fairly dysfunctional as a service. And I was fine with that. And we had a bit of banter between me and the congregation on the day. And they weren't running a debt centre. But as I looked around, I thought, my goodness, you need a debt centre here. You need some of this in your church. And the pastor was like, we would love it, but we have no funding. We have no finance to be able to do that. And so this year, we've started something called Centre Sponsors. So this may be for somebody in the room today, where if you are in a position to be able to give £50 a month to become a centre sponsor, you can help churches like that one in Nottingham, like many all over the country, to be able to run a service like you are able to, where they have limited resource, because the congregation have no money to give. So you do the maths, there's nothing coming in, they can't pay anything out, and they're stuck. And so I just want to leave that with you this morning as a final thought, that there may be somebody in the room today, and for you, you think that's what I want to answer today. Thank you for listening. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to stand up and share a little bit about our vision, about what we're passionate about. And I know that is resounding in your heart as well, because you are running your debt centre and have been for a number of years. So I want to say thank you on behalf of CAP, as part of the leadership of CAP. I just want to say thank you for being a faithful church, for continuing to reach out into your community to make a difference, to finding new centre managers when you've needed them, to keep going. You could have shut the door, but you didn't, and so thank you. And I just leave those thoughts with you of how are you going to answer the mandate of the Spirit that's in you today? Thank you so much for listening.